All right, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God, that this is a day that you have made. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for apostolic order. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God, for blessing us with such an apostle, Lord God, after your own heart, Lord God. And we just thank you right now that we're receiving everything from this school that we need. We just give you all the praise. And Lord, as always, I rely and lean on the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, I'd fall flat on my face. So Holy Spirit, my dependency is upon you. You are my help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to go to verse 20. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." That sounds a whole lot similar to what God commanded Adam to do, you know, to replenish the earth. He said, he gave him dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And he told him to have dominion and to populate the earth. And here God is telling Noah to basically be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And in verse 20, we're going to see now that verse 1, chapter 9, Genesis 1:9 is a God-given mandate. He's given Noah some specific instructions. And one of the things I want to point out as we get into this lesson on Noah and his three sons, you know, when you have a specific mandate from God, you don't want nothing to distract you from that mandate. You want to stay focused on that mandate or that vision or the assignment that God has given unto you. Okay, let's go to verse 20 with that said. "And Noah began to be a husbandman." In other words, a gardener or, you know, farmer. Now his mandate was verse 9 and 1, you know, being fruitful and replenish the earth. But I guess in his spare time, he decided he was going to do some gardening. And he planted a vineyard. And verse 21 said, "And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. And Shem and Japhet took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backwards, and they saw not the father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what the younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he blessed and he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant." Okay, these verses of scriptures here, we're going to get into depth and detail about it. So we're going to be talking about Noah and his three sons. As I stated earlier, God gave Noah a mandate to repopulate the earth and to dominate it, or to dominate the earth and have dominion over it. It is so very important that we stay focused on our God-given mandate, because you don't want anything to sidestep you from fulfilling the will of God for your life, because the enemy will bring all kind of distractions, all kind of things to cause you to get preoccupied. And even though sometimes some of those things may be good within themselves, you know, there's one thing, there's a good idea, and then there's a God idea. What did God say about this? You know, and the world and society will try to sway you in a different light, in a different direction. And I know I've shared this before. Like I said, I'm a repeater, but I can remember when my job basically was offering me an assignment in Kansas. This one guy came up to me and said, "You will make a good sales rep in my Kansas region." I just did a presentation, and I was all excited. Now, granted, I was a first year, either a first or a second year student in the school of ministry. I think it was, I think I had started the school. Yeah, I did. And so all of a sudden now he's, you know, saying this, and then I'm going back to, I'm thinking about it and bringing all my props back to the rental car, cause I was in North Carolina at the time. And all of a sudden the Lord spoke and he says, I didn't call you to Kansas, you know? And then he didn't, but he didn't say nothing else. I said, okay, well, I remember when I first came to Word of Life, and I was sitting 3/4 of the way back in the old church, and the Lord spoke to me and he says, this is where you need to be, you know? And he's never changed his mind on that, you know? And the minute he said, I didn't call you to Kansas, those other words came back ringing up on the inside of me, you know, I need to go back home. That's where I need to be. You know, things could kind of sway you. And here we see with Noah, you know, God gave him a mandate, and Noah now has a sideline ministry, you know, doing something, you know. Now, I always tell people, you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. And if things are not working the way you think they should be working, go back and pick up the last thing God called you, told you to do, and continue to do it fervently. And then you're going to, because the anointing you need, the grace you need to carry out the assignment is already there because God spoke it, you know. But when you left it and left it there, you left all God's ability to help you fulfill that assignment there. And when you went somewhere else, you were actually working in your own ability. Amen. And that's when you start watering it with your foot. You started working. It's more of a physical thing. It's not a spiritual thing anymore. God's desire was to have a people to serve him. And that's why God wanted Noah to repopulate the earth and obey him. Fulfilling the destiny, you honor God when you fulfill God's destiny for your life, God's divine assignment. This is very important, because if you don't do it, you know, you're robbing yourself of your God-given destiny. Okay, let's move on. The Bible says that Noah began, as we read, to be a husbandman or a gardener, and he planted a vineyard, and he had grapes, and from those grapes he basically made wine and became inebriated or drunk of the wine, and he lost focus on his God-given purpose because he became uncovered within his tent, not uncovered into the world, but in his own tent or in his own house, under where God had set him. You can become uncovered even in your church by just doing something God didn't instruct you to do, mm-hmm. You know, or getting sidetracked. You know, I remember years ago, some 20, 25 years ago, I got very involved in photography and wedding videography, you know, but God really had wanted me to begin to start centering more focus upon him and things that he had already spoken through the apostle that he wanted me to do. And things just didn't go well, you know, until I recognized that I need to put this down. This is just Greg. This is not what God wants. This is what Greg wants, you know. And once I put it down and just let it go, then begin to focus upon prison ministry, begin to focus upon other assignments here at the church, then God began to bless more. Yeah, and I began to see spiritual progress because I didn't allow my personal ambitions or things I wanted to do to get in the way of what God wanted to do. I mean, even, you know, like I said, even with job assignments or you know, things, you know, if I move to this city, I have a better opportunity. But if God called you, you know, to a particular church at a particular city, and you know that all the provision you need is going to be there. Everything you need, you know, and you see, because now you begin to work Matthew 6:33 by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, doing what God's called you to do by seeking that his kingdom. And then all of a sudden now the monetary things you think you were losing out on, God's going to bless you with because your inside is perfect will. Let's see where we want to go there. Noah, over time, lost focus of what God had called him to do. You never want to lose focus of your God-given vision. You know, if God spoke something in your heart, you always want to keep the vision of the ministry that you belong to or the vision God spoken to you. You always want to keep it up front and center. And it's not a bad idea to write that vision down somewhere in your house or in your bedroom, you know, and every now and then begin to quote that vision or what God spoke to you. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was in college, the Lord, we were doing a revival meeting. And we had invited some guest ministers and had a praise group to come and perform. And we, you know, did a lot of coordinating and getting everything together. Mm-hmm. But when it was all said and done, somebody else actually kind of, I guess you want to use the word, maybe emceed the program or kind of oversee it. And I was sitting in the back of the auditorium, and I was kind of a little upset because I'm saying I did all this legwork. And nobody recognized, you know, the reason why this is even going on. I had a big hand in it. And the Lord spoke to him. He says, I never have planned to use you in the forefront. You're going to always be more in supportive ministries. And he said, don't think that that's a lesser calling because you're not the one people see all the time. Amen. But it's you undergird your man of God, you undergird whatever ministry you're in, and when they need you, they can rely on you. So don't look at that as being something small, you know, because even any area in the ministry of helps is very important. You know, every area of your body, from your little toe to the crown on your head, has a significant purpose. And if one of them is not functioning properly, the whole body is not functioning like it's supposed to. You're not functioning as a one unit. So it's so very important to know, you know, and stay focused on your God-given mandate. Okay, let me move on. Anytime you become intoxicated with a sideline ministry, you lose focus and you can't see straight to do what God has called you to do. A ministry that loses its focus on its God-given mandate can become intoxicated like Noah did with a sideline ministry and become uncovered in his own tent, his own church, or his own area. And it's not that God has withdrawn his hand from you. God can only, what's the word for you? If he didn't ordain it, he's not going to equip it. You know, it's got to be a God-ordained, you know, move of what you're doing in order to get the full-blown, you know, push of the Holy Spirit to get that thing done. It is one thing to let the world cause you to drift off, but it's another thing altogether to drift off course in ministry. And that's something you don't want to do. Noah kind of drifted off course. He got inebriated. But we're going to also look at Ham and what he did and what the other two brothers did. One walked in dishonor. The other two honored their father. It's so very important that you stick with your man of God, you know, and don't do anything to discredit or to make an example of. Because, you know, that's just like putting your mouth on a man of God. You don't want that to happen. Okay. Because see what happened with Ham, he saw the nakedness of his father. And instead of him saying, Daddy, let me help you, I mean, cover him up and get him sober. They probably didn't have coffee back then. But anyway, whatever it takes, you know, we're gonna get you out of this and we're going to get you back on track. And we're going to get back to doing what God told us to do in Genesis 9:1. You know, instead of him doing that, he goes and he talks to his brothers. And the way the author puts it, he probably did it in a kind of a facetious and you know like he's talking bad or down about his father. Now, though Noah was his physical father, but because Noah was the apostolic leader of that time, because God had gave Noah the mandate of building the ark and saving all the animals, him and his family, and the whole world was destroyed, but Noah and his family found grace with God. So Noah was the apostolic leader of that era, you know, to do what God's called him to do. He had an extremely, you know, important assignment to do, and his son should have been with him 100% in that assignment, and not to do anything to discourage him or to, you know, but he goes and he talks to his brother, says, "Dad is over here in the bedroom, you know, drunk. He made some grapes and made fermented the grapes and made some wine, and now he's drunk, you know. He's just slobbering all over himself, you know." And the other two sons, they immediately recognize, no, this can't be. This can't be. We need to do something about this. So they take a spread or a sheet or some fabric, and they physically go back into his chamber and cover the nakedness of their father. And by doing so, they saved him of the embarrassment, but at the same time, they honored their father by, you know, even when a man of God make a mistake, is for his members and the people in the congregation, those close to him, to gather themselves around them and to protect him and to protect that anointing. A good friend of mine, and I've shared this before, but each time I share it, it's going to be a little different. His pastor got in error, got in sex sin, and he was the associate, the second in command. He got all upset about it and, you know, talked about it. And, you know, the only way I knew about it because of what he said, you know, and left the church. And then he went now to go start his own ministry, you know, and the exact same thing that his spiritual father did some 4 or 5 years later, he's in that same predicament, you know. And in that act of adultery, lost his marriage, lost his ministry, you know. Apostle said something very similar. He said, you know, if I'm in sin, well then, you know, my son's gonna see, you know, because one of the things I have in my outline, because you're made from the same spiritual DNA. You know, and that's why it's so important for fathers to live upright and moral, because they're setting the example for their sons. You know, I know if I mess up, both my legs gonna be broke. You know, so, but at the same time, I see my man of God. I see the example. I see where he's headed, and you want to stay on track. You know, and that's so very important. You know, because when you have a good example before you, you all you got to do is follow that example. And there's a scripture that I want to also point out in the area of sideline ministries or doing something that God hadn't called you to do. And that's found in Psalms 127 and 1. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But it says, you know, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. So whatever you're building, whatever you're doing for God, make sure that the Lord is in it. Make sure that he's building that house with you and you're not building it on your own.
Amen.
All right, let's move on. He saw his father uncovered, naked, and exposed. When Ham saw his father uncovered, it opened the avenue for Ham also to be uncovered. And that's so very important. If your father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the sons also to become uncovered in their father's nakedness because of the sin, because the son is a product of the father. And then I mentioned earlier about the spiritual DNA. And that's why it's so important what the two brothers did. They covered their father's nakedness. And because of that, their father blessed them.
Amen.
You know, and Ham became a servant, became a slave, you know. And Noah not only, he didn't really curse Ham per se, but he cursed Cana, which was his lineage, mm-hmm. children and his children's children, and that lineage that should have been blessed became cursed, mm-hmm. you know. There's so many times and people that I've met over the last umpteen years who ditched their spiritual fathers, who went separate ways. And it didn't. At the time, I didn't have the concept of what a spiritual father was, say 15, 20 years ago. But I always wonder why things didn't work out well. And then you go back and you start to trace and backpedal what they did and what they said. And then you saw where they put their mouth on their man of God. They disgraced him. They left. You know, they were pillars in the church and they left when they should have been there undergirding and staying with their man of God. Their latter end wasn't successful at all. Whenever you have a father that's uncovered or has uncovered himself, and the sons speak badly about that opens the door for the curse the father has initiated to come upon them. And like I said, you know, that curse will affect your lineage. So then the son must now take his gift, like the two brothers did, and their anointing, and back up and provide a covering for their father. And by saving their father, they also save themselves. And that's so very important. When the father becomes uncovered, the son must still honor their father by using their anointing and their gift to cover their father's nakedness. All right, let me move on. When Noah woke up and found out that his son had sown that seed of dishonor, Noah then cursed not the man, and I said this earlier, but he cursed his lineage, a generational curse, his legacy. He says, and I think it's around verse 24, and Noah woke from the wine, and when he knew what the younger son had done unto him, he said, "Cursed be Cana, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." All right. Sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after you, your children, your children's children. It will cut off the generational blessing in your lineage, you know. And I want to make sure people understand, you know, when you're in a covenant relationship. You know, I've been married for 37 years, and that's a covenant relationship. You know, nothing is going to affect or come between that covenant relationship or that bond. You know, and when you join forces or take up allegiance with a pastor and you become a member of the church, and become a vital part of that vision, you actually are in covenant with your pastor, with your apostle, you know, with the vision that they're, you know, that God has given them, and you become a part of that vision. And so it's so very important that you understand your role, your function, and your purpose in that vision. You know, I always try to tell people, you know, you've got to see yourself as a vital, integral part of what God is doing here, you know, and understand that God is using you, no matter what, if you're a greeter, a parking lot attendant, it doesn't matter. But you're causing the vision, you're putting legs to the vision, you're causing that vision to go forward, you know, and by doing so, you know. You want to, I always use the expression, you want to stay on your post. I always tell people that when I see somebody who used to be in, say, the praise team, or they used to be somewhere, I say, what happened? You stepped down from your post? I say, well, I got tired and I wanted to do something different. I said, but what you were doing was such a blessing. You know, when I see an usher who used to work on a particular role, sitting down, I know sometimes they rotate and what have you, and they do have times where they can sit in the service. But when I see them, just they look, I'm just tired. You know, I think about it and I try to talk to them. I said, it's not about it's not about you, but it's about you fulfilling the will of God for your life, you know. And the Bible says to be not weary in well-doing, because in due season you're going to reap if you faint not. You know, and it's just, it's you got to see it, see yourself as being a part of a living organism, you know. And when the, not the opportunity, but when God needs to pull your number for whatever reason, you want to be ready and be able to fill in or to do whatever you need to do. But if you're not in position, if your pastor don't see you consistently and consecutively staying focused, staying steady, people wonder why. I wonder why I never, you know, things never happen for me, and I don't get better assignments or better duties. You know, have you completed the duty and assignment that you already presently have? You know, I mean, that's what it's amount to. Because, you know, promotion don't come from the north, nor the south, nor the east, nor the west. Promotion comes from God. You know, and that's very important that we stay focused on that. Amen. Let me move on. All right. And I stated earlier that the other two sons, God or Noah blessed them. The ministry, they were enlarged. God is the one that brings the promotion. God is the one that causes you to increase and to enlarge your tent, you know. But it's as you, you know, as you use the gift God has blessed you with to bless others, then now you're honoring God. One of the things I had talked about before we left for the Thanksgiving holiday is honoring the anointing that's in you. Amen. You know, every person has an anointing and a gift and something God has placed in them that's unique to you. You know, use whatever that talent, that gift, that ability is to glorify God with it. You know, because every good gift and every perfect gift, you know, coming down from the Father of lights, where there's no variableness and no shadow of turning, you know, and if you don't use your God-given ability, your God-given gift to glorify God with, you know, you're denying yourself the honor and the glory that God wants to bestow on you, because He's given it to you, and all you got to do is just give it back to Him. And when you give it back to Him, but then the increase comes, you know. A lot of people are, I'm kind of getting off the subject, but I'm not getting off the subject. A lot of people are, I don't want to use the word ignorant of it, but are not aware of the preparation time that it takes. You know, the backside of the mountain experience, where nobody sees you doing something. Nobody sees you. But you're being developed by God for such a time as this, you know. And don't take those times of preparation lightly, because they're developmental stages where God, sometimes God is just, you know, just He's getting you out of the way so He can get in the way, and you know. More of me and less of God, but then less of me and more of God, and then none of me and all of God, you know. And when you get to that point where then God knows, well, you know, because it's so easy when the Lord begins to do things in your life, and people begin to tell you such and such, and you did and that you can't. You know, I always tell people, I say, just give God all the glory. I said, you know, it's just, I can't take no credit, you know, and I'm not taking any credit, because I know, you know, years ago, I said, Lord, I just want to be used by you. And I just want to, whatever you have. And when you begin to get to that state of humility, you now walk in an area of humbleness. Mm-hmm. And when you begin to walk in that degree of humbleness, you know, the Bible says before honor is humility. And so as you honor and walk in that humility, you know, the honor comes, you know, and then God knows that he can trust you. One of the things I always even tell my kids, I want to always be able to trust you. But trust is something that has to be developed. It has to be earned. You know, over periods of time, when you've given an instruction, you do what you've been told to do, you know. And every now and then I have to get on my son because he'll kind of forget about, you know, well, I'm 23, 24 now. I say, yeah, but you're still my son. And there's still rules and regulations and things that I require for you. You know, even if it's just every now and then picking up the phone call and checking to see how we're doing or letting us know how you're doing, or if you need us, you're about to make a decision, but you're not quite sure, bumping it off, you know, calling us up. I said, you know, you have that support, you know. And even in the area of ministry of helps or in ministry, you should always have some. The Bible says there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that you can bump something off on, I'll never forget one particular situation, and I went to Dr. Phil about it, and he said, "Yeah," I said, "Brother Calhoun, somebody else had that same situation a while back, and this is what Apostle said." You know, and he said, if you do this, Apostle, he'll understand. And I said, okay. And then when he saw me again, he said, did you talk to Apostle? I said, yeah. And guess what? He told the same thing you told me is what he said. He said, yeah, I figured that. I thank God for that, you know. But, you know, safety in a multitude of counselors, you know, safety. You know, as a young man I need to talk to right now because not doing nothing wrong, but one of the things I've learned, and I'm way off my lesson, but it doesn't matter, but this needs to be covered. Because this is a sideline for this person. You know, you're faithful to a ministry, but then some friends from you know, yesteryear or who used to be a member say, hey, look, we got this little thing going, and we're going to be ministering here, doing that. You know, I want you to come to support us. Once somebody leaves Apostle, I still respect them, but my association with you pretty much goes down to zero. You know, I'll see you in the shopping center. We'll talk. We'll reminisce for a few minutes. But other than that, we really have nothing to communicate about. You know, because, you know, we were coming and to a certain point and moving together, but all of a sudden you took off and I stayed with Apostle. You know, because what ultimately happens is they'll pull you off your God-given mandate. You know, this person I'm thinking about, they some meeting somewhere way down Louisiana, he going supporting some former members and people who were never members of the church, you know, and I'm saying, you know, and then I find what, you know, well, they let me say a little bit. I will not minister nowhere, nowhere, absolutely nowhere without my man of God's approval, you know, and if I call and I speak to Dr. Leroy Jr. and he says, well, I get back with you, but I don't hear anything in 2 or 3 days, that means that's a silent no. Yeah. You know, that's okay. You know, these are things that's how you honor your man and woman of God, you know, because they need to know that you got their back and you're there 100%. You know, it's those little things. See, a lot of times people want to, can I say this? They want to kind of rub you back a little bit and say, you really not used the way you're supposed to be used or how you can, you know. But nobody, who can judge that? Don't let nobody blow smoke up your nose, you know, basically, or in your ear, you know, and all of a sudden now your ear starts itching, and then you start thinking this kind of way. And I've seen that happen to a lot of good young ministers, a lot of good people who have good intentions, but they drifted, you know. And that's why, you know, the only meetings I go to, Supernatural Money Coming to You meetings, you know, Prosperity Revival, camp meeting, any special meeting on help, everything I need is in my, you see, in the circle that God's called you to, everything you need is going to be there. Amen. Everything. Amen. You know, your health, your wealth, you know, your peace, your joy, your family, everything. You know, don't go looking on the other side of the fence because you might think the grass is greener over there. Believe me, it's green where we at. It's very green. You know, it's flourishing. You know, matter of fact, seeds come up in this field. You know, seeds come up in this field, you know. And, you know, it just hurts me when I see people disconnect. That, you know, because I know, but one thing I had to learn, you have to just let them go. Pray for them, let them go. But, you know, you got your purpose has to be strong, you know. Let me just go over a few things that we talked about because I got off the subject and I want to make sure we cover the specifics in the next last 3 minutes. Okay, if your father becomes uncovered, it opens the door for the son also to become uncovered in their nakedness, in their father's nakedness, because the son is a product of the father. And I said, because you basically have that same spiritual DNA, because it does matter. Now, getting back to what I was just talking about, but it does matter who you are associated with. In other words, what camp you're in, you know, what association you're a part of. You know, it does matter who you're connected with, because you know, that connection you have is not only is your spiritual covering, you know, but you are composed of the same spiritual DNA as your covering, as your father. You know, it blessed me when people come up to me and say, "Yeah, I know you're you know, a son of Dr. Thompson," you know, because they should see some of his attributes and what you say and what you do, you know, on you, because that should be what you be hearing and what you be absorbing in on the inside. You know, it hurts me when I go to a church that affiliated and you think there's a connection, but when you go there, you don't see it. You know, Apostle talked about that. I've seen that, you know. You want to, you know, my physical father, I have not only physical attributes of him, but certain things that he would do, because I've seen him do it so many times, I find myself doing some of the same things. You know, he never went out and just, you know, hung out with the fellas. You know, he'd stayed home, stayed with his family, you know, took us places, and, you know, he was always there for us, you know, and, you know, you very seldom will see me up and down. I don't remember the last time I went to the mall. My wife buys all my clothes. I just me. You know, she said, "Well, you know, she'll buy something and I'll try it on, and if I like it, if she said, 'Oh, I like that,' I said, 'Well, we'll keep it.' And if it don't fit, or if I don't like it, she'll bring it back. You know, But it's, you know, my dad was kind of the same way. You know, spiritually, you're gonna have them same traits as your spiritual father. You know, if you connect properly, and if you, you know, when you absorb in those teachings, and the teachings become a part of you, when you begin to share things, you're going to say, that sounds just like Dad. Well, it's supposed to. It's supposed to, because you're sons of the apostle, you know, sons and daughters of the apostle. And so always remember that, you know, you do not want to, you know, disconnect or from your spiritual source. Amen. And sowing the seed of dishonor as Ham did can affect the generations after you. your children and your children's children. It will cut off your generational blessing in your lineage. Amen? And you don't want to do that. All right, we'll conclude for today. You guys be blessed.